And let me just say, we are excited about getting in to our new facility, which is not today, obviously, but it will be this month. And we're hoping for probably the 22nd, 1 week after the 15th. We thought we might get in there. We still might, but I think we're going to get in there on the 22nd. So be thinking in terms of not coming here. There may be a teachers association or something meeting in here if you come after that period of time. My wife wants to say thank you. All the hard workers, I want to say thank you. Friday, was it Friday, Tina? What? Saturday, Friday. You all met together and put up 6 murals in like 6 hours. I mean, you guys are like worker bees. I'll tell you, they're beautiful. They're in the auditorium already. And tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., you may join my wife and I. We'll be working again there at 9 o'clock. We'll be putting up some more. So we need more help. And things are beginning to speed up a little bit. I tell you, we're right on their tail. You know, they finish a room and psh, we're right in there. You know, so tomorrow morning, all you wallpapering giants and worker bees, come on out at 9 o'clock. Hey, we've got a great book. This past month, it was Set Apart for God. This month, it's called Crazy Love, Overwhelmed by a Relentless God by Francis Chan. He is a pastor in California. Can I read just a little bit of this book to you? I want you to kind of get the feel of it. It's a powerful book. He quotes Matthew 13, listen to this, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went out and sold all that he had and bought the field. Chan writes this, in this account, the man joyfully sold all that he had so he could obtain the only thing that mattered. He knew that what he had stumbled upon, the kingdom of heaven, was more valuable than anything he had. So he went for it with everything in him. This kind of enthusiastic response to God's love is entirely appropriate. Yet, what a contrast to our typical response at discovering the same treasure. Chan goes on to say, in the United States, numbers impress us. We gauge the success of an event by how many people attend or how many come forward. We measure churches by how many members they boast. We are wowed by big crowds. Jesus questioned the authenticity of this kind of record keeping. According to the account in Luke chapter 8, when a crowd started to follow him, Jesus was speaking in parables so that those who weren't genuine couldn't get it. You know, I don't know why we pick books like this, because it just messes you up. All right, here we go. All right, fact is, he wasn't interested in those who fake it. In the parable of the sower, Jesus explained that the seed, the truth, the word of God, that when the seed is flung onto the path, it's heard, but quickly stolen away. When the seed is tossed onto the rocks, no root take hold. And there's an appearance of depth and growth because of the good soil, but it's only surface level. When the seed is spread among the thorns, it's received, but soon suffocated by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And when the seed is sown in good soil, it grows, takes root, and produces fruit. My caution to you is this. Don't assume you're good soil. All right, I'm not reading any more of this. This is bad. Okay. He asked this. Has your relationship with God actually changed the way you live? Do you see evidence of God's kingdom in your life? Or are you choking it out slowly by spending too much time, energy, money, and thoughts in this world? Are you satisfied being godly enough to get yourself into heaven or to look good in comparison to others? Or can you say with Paul that you want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and becoming like him in his death? Well, that's just a little excerpt of what you're going to find about crazy love. And he terms it such because he believes that's the only kind of love that God wants. That you just go crazy in your love for him. And I don't know what the cost is. I'm not $10. Oh, $10. There it is. Okay. On the back here, it says $14.99. So we got a good deal. That was a retail price. And we're giving it to you at cost for $10. You could pick those up today, I think. I think we have them. Great. Thank you, Mark. There you go, Tina. So I did everything I was supposed to do. Let me get right to the Word of God. And we're excited about it. I'm preparing for our series on Revelation. We'll start that on the first Wednesday in September. I've already got three lessons written. I've got graphs. I've got charts. We've got slides that we're going to be showing you, taking you through the book of Revelation, dealing with some key events, putting it all chronologically in order for you. I think it's going to be fantastic. So plan on that. But don't miss Wednesday night this week either, because we're going to have a great time. Is your Bible open? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. And I need to find out, do we have the video clip of my granddaughter? You do. Okay, good. I'll call that in just a minute. Today's my granddaughter's birthday. She's 1 year old today. That's number 12 grandchild. And that's amazing, isn't it? Have 12 grandchildren. Well, praise the Lord. Someday you'll have 12 as well. Some of you may have more than that. And I'm just getting started, right? All right, let's read it together. You ready? Let's read it. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Come on, help me read. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Then over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And I want us to read that one together as well. Ready? Let's read it. I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What I would love to have done today, when you came into this building, is put a sign that said, all church on the North Coast attendees must crawl from this point forward. I don't know how many of you would have still come to church, but can you imagine us as adults crawling like little babies? You know, it's an amazing thing that when we're born in the natural, God put in us walk. There is walk in us when we're created. However, it's got to develop, and we've got to bring that walk out. And we're trying to do everything for Lindsay. She's going to be 1 year. Well, she is 1 year old today, and she's still not walking on her own. But we do everything we can do to get her up off of her knees and start taking steps so that she can walk around. Now, we know she's eventually going to do that. But when you get to be around 12 months old, everybody asks, is she walking yet? I say, well, no, not yet. Well, it's not too alarming at 12 months, but at 14, 16 months, we're thinking, ooh, man, that baby's not walking? You need to get that baby walking. You need to go see the doctor. Something's going on. 2 years, 5 years old, how about 14? And your 14-year-old daughter is still crawling around. No, that wouldn't work, would it? We know that there's absolutely something wrong. But let me say this. When you're born again, God puts walk in you. If God puts walk in you in the natural, then God must put walk in you in the spiritual. Now let's go back to Galatians 5 and 16. He would not have put walk in us in our spiritual life if he didn't put walk in us, he would have never said this in Galatians 5, 16. I say then, what does he say? Walk in the spirit. So there's walk in you when you're born again. And that's his desire. He wants to see us develop. And develop that mastery in the realm of the spirit that we're walking and we're not crawling. Now, we can't tell whether or not you've crawled in here spiritually or if you walked in here spiritually. We don't know. We can't see that. We can't discern that. But how ridiculous would it be if you've been serving the Lord for all this time and you know God for all these years and you're still crawling around instead of walking in the spirit? You know, it's interesting what we like to do when little children are trying to walk. Man, we're so excited. They start walking. We're like, yay, you're walking, yay. But after like 10 years, you know, and your daughter or son walks into the house, you don't get all excited about the fact that they're walking. You know, you don't go, wow, you walked out of here from your bedroom. That's so good. I'm so proud of you. But this is what we do when kids are just starting to break in. You got that little clip for me back there? Lindsay finally got up off of her fours, and I have a little clip of it that was sent to me yesterday.
Are you done?
Isn't that crazy? She, She went right back to what felt comfortable. Now, we're okay because we're tolerant with that. We know that eventually she's not going to get back down. She's going to stay upright. But you hear April's voice back there? Go, Lexi! Go, Lexi! Go, Lexi! I think it's the same thing in the spirit. When you begin to walk in the spirit, you begin to develop that. All of heaven is up there calling your name. Go, Louie! Go, Louie! Go, Louie! I mean, it's God is excited about the fact that you are walking in the spirit. Hallelujah. But notice, let's back up to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Look at it in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, in which you once walked. Once you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Walk in the Greek is an incredible word. Listen to it. Here's some of the definitions of it. It's such an exhaustive word in the Greek. It's hard just to say taking steps. It's more than that. Listen, it means this. To walk around habitually in one general area all the time. So Paul says that we used to walk around in one general area all the time before we were born again. Now notice he says according to, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's look at another definition. The word walk also means to habitually live and function in a certain way under a certain influence. So Paul was saying, you know what? You've lived your life habitually in a certain dimension until you met Christ. And you lived it a certain way. You were predictable. Because that's all you knew. That's how you were taught to walk. Thirdly, it's a path that you chose that you can't deviate from. So he's identifying the fact that before we were born again, we were walking not under our own power, but according to a controlling, dominating spirit that was leading us by the hand and telling us you have to go this way and you can't deviate from this path. You can't deviate from this direction. And fourth, it means to be locked in one general sphere and can't find their way out by yourself. Can't find your way out by yourself. Now let's look at that word according to. Because those two words in the Greek in that verse are really important. According to, we would walk habitually on this path that we couldn't deviate from. We were locked into the sphere of this way of life. According to, and it basically means this, under the control and under the dominance of a power that was outside of yourself. You see, before we were born again, we think we're living our life on our own accord. We think we're making our own choices and our own decisions. To a degree, we are, as long as we don't deviate from the path. The path dictates to us how we interpret life, how we look at marriage, how we raise our children, how what we think of Christ, what we think of the faith, how we approach anything in life. This particular dominance, this particular control, this particular spirit is what's dominating a person's life all their life. Now, the course of this world means this. It denotes systems. So we're walking on this pathway under the control and the power and the dominance of this force according to the course of this world. The course of this world means this. Systems, institutions in our society. For example, fashion, entertainment, politics, business. All of these factors guided in our life by the changing ethics and whims of the times. So really what Paul was saying is like before you're born again, you would walk, learn how to walk, live within the sphere of under this control and dominance of this spirit that would teach you how, where, and when to walk according to the systems, education, fashion, politics, doesn't matter, business, according to these systems were used by a power that would control the systems that would influence you and me on how we walked. Paul said, that's how you came into this world. That's how you learned to live life. and the changing ethics and whims of those systems. So if those systems, for example, if entertainment changed their philosophy and they celebrate homosexuality, then that whim and that change in that institution is now used by the controlling, dominating spirit to cause us to walk differently. If politicians, a system, changes from being conservative to liberal, or from being from democratic to some other form of expression of rule, that change, that whim of politics is used by the dominating control spirit, that force, to affect how we live life. How we see people. That's why today there is a growing sentiment among the general population that people who are sick, weak, feeble, and old are expendable. Healthcare is a waste to a man that's 80 and probably won't recover. So let's put the dollars into a man that's 25 that has their life to live. And let the 80-year-old man die. You say, well, I don't believe that. No, you won't. But if you stay in the system long enough, you will. Because the system is designed and under the control of a spirit that is using the system to define how we live our life. Okay. I told you, I think last week, my wife and I went somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And they asked us, oh, I know what I was filling out my customs form. And they said, you both live at the same address. I said, yeah. They didn't ask me, are we married? Because there's been a shift in the system. They don't care whether you're married or not. Do you live in the same house? All right, you only need one form. It is so subtle, we may not even pick up on it. And before you know it, there is a general acceptance that that's how you do life. You live life when you live together. You don't need to be married. It's okay. It's acceptable. It's part of our walk. It's part of our sphere. It's how we do life. Now, I can give you hundreds of examples, but let's get back into the text and find out what Paul has to say about it. We've been walking this way for so long because of our environment and our daily activity. It's sometimes hard to recognize that that's where we are. And when another way is presented to us, it's like foreign. It's like, I don't have to do that. There's no way I'm going to do that. You think I'm going to forgive that person? Because it's a general accepted thing to hold a grudge. Everybody supports you in the system of the world. And you've been controlled and dominated by that system. And so you just continue to live that way without regard to the Word of God, trying to penetrate the system. Now, let me just say this. As a church, as a cutting-edge ministry in this generation, you and I have to design this ministry not to be of the system, but to be able to penetrate the system. The system is where our children grow up under. The system is where we live before we're born again. It's sort of like this. If I'm in my apartment and I'm blind, I do not need you to lead me around my house. I have become so familiar with it. I can't see a thing, but I know where the ottoman is. I know where the coffee table is. I know where my refrigerator is. I know how to go around the corner of my kitchen cupboards. I know exactly where the bathroom is. I know where the tissue is. I know where everything is because I have so discovered that way of life. I don't have to see to be able to navigate it. But take me out of that system and put me on Fifth Avenue in New York with all the traffic and the hustle and the bustle. Now I'm dependent on a guide because I'd never been to Fifth Avenue before, and I know that I'm going to risk my life if I don't have somebody taking me by the hand. As long as we're in the church, living in the system, we have no need of guidance because we're really attending church living in our apartments. We are living in a system that we're so familiar with, we don't need help with it. But get us out of that system, and we are totally dependent on somebody's help to bring us across that street. Now, if we have a generation that's brought up under this system, as a church, it is our duty and responsibility to go into that system, not be of that system. Huh? You're not of the world, but you're in the world. So I can go into that system and I can grab the attention of people that are in that system with the relevancy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and take them from that system into the kingdom of God. If church isn't relevant to the systems of which this generation is under, we will not reach the masses for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, oh, Pastor, you're talking about getting worldly, aren't you? You're talking about getting worldly. No, I'm not talking about getting worldly. I'm talking about understanding the systems and know how to navigate into them and get the attention of those that otherwise will not give you the time of day because all you know is a church system. Did you know church can be a system under the control and dominance of the same spirit, only it's religious? That's why a lot of young people will come into your church and they'll listen to your music. They'll be like, oh man, that's a church system. Yeah, but we aren't playing rock and roll in here. You know, you need to get saved. No, 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 you don't understand. If you want to be a multi-generational church, if you want to be a multicultural church, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's real easy to be a one-segmented ministry. Because you ain't got to worry about nothing. You just be. But if you're out to reach a generation, if you're out to touch the cultures, if you're out to impact a city, then we're going to have to seek the face of God to be relevant to the generation of the systems that they're attached to and under. There's a sound that young people hear that turns their head. And if they don't hear it, they're not coming to your church. Now, here's the problem. Those of us who have been in the church a while, we like our system music. So don't be messing with our system of music. You know that old rugged cross where the dearest and best. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But I'm going to tell you, the system ignores that. So here's what I do. I need to go into their system, grab hold of them with something that'll get their attention, and loose the blinders over their eyes and lead them across Fifth Avenue into a new kingdom, into a new system. And that is so vital for a local church. So I just got to all warn all of you. You know, there are going to be some adjustments in this place. We got to become more relevant to a generation. And so if we're rocking out up here one Sunday, don't flip out on me. What happened to our church? Oh my gosh. We need the wisdom of maturity to reach the inexperience and immaturity of a generation. The message will never change, but the methods may have to adjust from time to time. So we're supposed to walk in the kingdom. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Now this is interesting in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says to walk by what? Faith and not by sight. So now he's telling us to walk by faith. But we also read in the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 that we're supposed to walk in love. So this is like a multi-dimensional pathway. Faith, love. How about in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5? Light. Verse 18, wisdom. He said, walk in wisdom. You see, we're going to have to learn how to walk in a different dimension. I can't come into the house of God, proclaim salvation, and not love you. Because what I'm doing is I'm living under the dominion and the control of a spirit that I used to walk under. And I'm in the house of God. I'm proclaiming Jesus, and I'm relating to you as if I'm still under this dominion and control of this spirit. Because I don't like white people. I don't like black people. I don't like kids. I don't like that kind of music. I can't forgive her. She's ugly to me. I just can't. There's no, I'm not going to do it. God understands my heart. No, you're under a system. You are trapped in your apartment and you are blinded. And you are navigating your life the way you feel most comfortable. Can't do that. Look at somebody and say, can't do that. Come on. Can't do that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, Paul said, you did not learn Christ that way. You did not learn Christ that way. That's why discipleship is so key in the local church. We've got to teach one another how you walk in this thing. I need to take you by the hand and say, now look, you've never been this way before. But this is what we do when somebody bumps into us in the, you know, I had an experience when we were on vacation this last time. I just remembered this team. Do you remember that big muscle guy got off of the elevator? And I was trying to get out of the way. He just, bam, right into me. Remember that? I was mad at him. I felt my old walk come back. I felt like saying, hey, you just bumped into me. But I noticed he was big and he was muscular and he was about 25. So I just said, bless him, Jesus. But I felt inside like, okay, that's enough. Let's go. You know, when you're young, you think you're bad. You know, you're walking down the street. Another guy walking, I ain't moving. He said, I ain't moving either. And you just kind of hit shoulders. Bam. You give them a dirty look. They give you a dirty look. It's like two young bucks trying to find your space, you know. And God reminded me when I felt that. He said, that's from the system you used to live under. And you need to separate yourself from that because that's not part of my kingdom. I said, I know God, but did you see what he did? He bumped into me. The other day, I was driving into church. I was late, so I was running a little bit fast, and I was within 5 miles of the speed limit, though I wasn't overly, you know, speeding, but I was speeding. And this guy came behind me in an SUV Lexus. I mean, it was nice, and he was older than me, so he was an older guy. He was right on my tail. I was doing like 5 miles over the speed limit, and he's like, you know, and I could see him. Like, get out of the way, you know, tapping the thing. And then something inside me said, slam on the brakes. See what he thinks about that Lexus when he hits that little Honda of yours. Man, I felt the system. I did, I have to admit it. I felt it, but it went away real quick because I knew I was preaching a sermon. I said, I can't be doing that and preaching a sermon. I was like, I got to get that out of me. There's something in me that's not of God. I said, that's of the world. That's of the old system. That's how we did things in the system. It's an amazing thing. We don't recognize how many times we respond to the pathways of our apartment when we were blinded. We're so routine oriented, we just respond according to what we have habitually lived in. And Paul said this, it's time for us to walk in the Spirit. Now, if you can walk in the natural, you can walk in the Spirit. He said, what is all that about, walking in the Spirit? Well, it's walking in His Word. It's walking in His Word according to John 6:63. So my words are spirit in their life. So you know what? If I just walk in His Word, if God says to do, that's how I'm going to walk. I'm going to live like that. That's going to be my sphere. That's going to be my pathway. I'm not going to deviate from it. This is what I'm going to take. But you know what? It's going to separate you from some stuff. So let's go to one more story, and then we'll close. Matthew chapter 14. Don't get excited. I got a lot more left. But it is my last scripture. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 28. It's a powerful scripture. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, say it with me, Lord, save me. Have you ever said that? And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of the Gennesaret. It's an interesting thing. They never made any mention about Peter's walking on the water. They did, when Jesus got in the boat, go, wow, you're the Son of God, because you were walking on the water. Remember, he appeared to them as if being a ghost. Is this really you, Lord? We're in the middle of a storm. And all of a sudden, Peter gets something in him, thinking he can do something he had never done before. As a matter of fact, none of them had ever done it. Matter of fact, no on record is there any place any human being had ever walked on the water. Peter gets inspired and says, I'm coming. And I want to equate this story with walking in the Spirit. In order to get this into your heart, in order to get this into your spirit, in order to begin to launch out and learn how to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to separate yourself from what's been containing you. It is the norm. It is how this generation does life. It is our cultural indoctrinations. It is our church traditions. It is how we have viewed life from the system's point of view. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we've got to leave that behind. The first thing that Peter did is he recognized that man as being Jesus. If you and I want to walk in the Spirit, we're going to have to get a vision of Jesus. We're going to have to get a revelation of him that draws us closer to him. Not that we can just see him and leave him, but it's something that we can't leave. It's so magnetic that it draws us no matter what the risk is, no matter how much I have to get beyond my experience and really putting everything on the line. He just draws me away from everything. I'm not concerned about the other 11 in the boat. I'm not concerned about the boat. I'm not concerned about my backpack that's in the boat, my iPod and my cell phone. And I'm not interested in any of that. Because I see him. And it drew him out of that place called normal. And the invitation that came from Jesus was simple. Come. And I really believe that that's the invitation that's come to this church today. Come to the church in America is come. Come out of the system of this world. Come out of what has become normal for you. And just see me. See, there's got to be a going out if there's to be a going on. And if you haven't come out, you can't go on in God. This whole book that we read last month and this crazy love book really kind of follows up with that, being separated for God. God is really saying, I want to heal your land. I want to heal Cleveland. I want to pour out my spirit on Cleveland. We believe that. My wife was under the anointing. We were praying on the way out here. And she said, I just believe this. I'm trying to drive, look for policemen and everything, you know. I was only going 5 miles over the speed limit. And she's praying, God, we want to be a Elijah generation. And we just say to that cloud, if it's the size of a man's hand, I said, honey, you're going to be preaching this morning. I'm not even going to preach. She preached to me the whole way. The fact is that God has something for this generation, and we are right here. All he's saying is if you'll just separate yourself from the systems of the world, you'll be able to do things you never thought possible. You'll be able to walk on water, man. You'll be able to do some supernatural stuff right in your everyday life. I believe we're going to see such spectacular healings. I mean, we've already seen some supernatural things. A man came to church this morning with a hole in his head. I believe God's going to raise the dead. By the way, let me just tell you, we got a report. How many have ever given anything toward any of the Uganda trips that I've taken in the past for those pastors' conferences? Let me see your hand. You ever given anything toward it? Here's the report. One of our pastors who came to our conference, who committed to plant churches, we just got the email this week. He was called by a family to do a funeral of an 8-year-old child, I believe it was 8 years old, who had been dead for 2 days, to come and do the funeral. So he went over there and he said when he got to the funeral place, he felt in his spirit that that child should not have died, but that child should have lived. So he went to the mom and dad. He said, can you just allow me to pray for your baby? I just feel like God doesn't want that baby dead. He wants that baby alive. And they said, "By sure, sure, pray for the baby." And Stefan got over there, laid his hands on that child, and he quoted the word of God in Psalm, I think it's 118. And he said, "You shall not die, but you shall live. I command you to rise." And at the end of that prayer, listen to me, at the end of that prayer, that 8-year-old baby, dead 2 days, opened up its eyes, stood up, and said, "Mama and Papa." That was in Uganda. That was a pastor that was in our conferences. You made that happen. You supported that. You are the ones that made that atmosphere. It bucks the systems of this world. I believe we're just getting started. I believe we're going to see blind eyes open. It's not going to be a spectacular thing. It's going to be an expected thing. When people come to the house of God, listen to me, you better get ready. Our new building isn't just a church building. It's like another Cleveland Clinic open up. It's like another restoration. It's like another rehab place. It's where people are going to come to be set free. There'll be the Lindsay Lohans of this generation that will come looking for freedom and liberty, because they're going to get the testimony that the systems of this world have no control and bearing upon those who join themselves to this community of faith. So, you've got to go out before you can go on. He walked on water. But verse 30 says, he saw the wind. You know what? Lindsay was doing great. She was pushing that little cart. And April was like, "Go, Lindsay. Go, Lindsay." And she was moving. She gave up. She fell. It's like, aw. But you know what? There are going to be times when you're making the transition out of the systems that you're going to fall. I still felt the urge to slam on my brakes. I'm embarrassed about that. But you know what? I'm in a transition from a system that used to dominate and control me. And I'm coming out of it. You know, it didn't last long. It was just like 20 seconds, maybe 10 seconds, and it was gone. And I just said, "Oh, Ramashonda, Bidandalobariti, Londarabasho. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost." I just went into prayer. I forgot about that old geezer on my tail. I let it go because I wasn't going to let that system control and dominate me. I'm telling you guys, listen to me. Some of you that may have struggled with issues of lust, there's going to come a time where it's going to come on you like that guy on my tail like that. And you're going to go, ooh, and you're going to go, that's a system of this world. And you're going to turn your back on it and walk away from it. You're not going to see it. Listen to me. You won't see it as an opportunity. You will not see it as an opportunity to excite your flesh. You will see it as an opportunity to excite your spirit, where you'll say, "You know what? This is an opportunity for me to be separated to God, and I choose God." I'm telling you, there's a shift in the realm of the spirit, and we're right in the middle of it. There is victory in this house. Come on, give God praise right there. Hallelujah. Victory in this house. Ooh, I feel it. I feel it. You know, it's been interesting. When Peter fell, as soon as he lost his footing, he cried out. Don't wait until you're under the waterline before you cry out. If you mess up, just say, "Jesus, If you slip, just say, God, you know what? I slipped. And you know what he's going to say? I got you. It's like that man taking that blind man across Fifth Avenue. I got you. That was a gutter there. I'm sorry I didn't tell you. It's okay. I got you. Keep on walking. And the Bible said as soon as Peter slipped, he cried out. And when he cried out, Jesus stretched out his hand and lifted him up. There's a lifting for you. There's a lifting for me. We don't have to live under guilt and condemnation. We're going to walk in the Spirit. How many of us, what kind of grandfather would I be? What kind of parent would you be? If your little my granddaughter or your daughter that fell after trying to walk, you get there and you say, okay, that's it. You ain't my granddaughter. You can't even walk. Sorry, self. Go over there and play on them toys. What kind of grandfather would I be? Huh? Is that even natural to do that? No, you're demonized if you did that. You think God does that because you slipped and fell? He goes, okay, forget it. Kick this guy out. Give me another deacon. He doesn't do that. He goes and gets something to entice you to do it again. So I'll go get some candy or Rattler or I'll get her something. I'll say, Lancy, look what Papa's got. Come get it. And as soon as she gets close enough, what do? I take it away. So she makes her have to walk a little more. See, some of us are wondering, God, why can't I get what I have? You know I want this so bad. And every time you get close, it's like, oh, he pushed it away. He's way over here now. God, why'd you move? He said, because I'm teaching you how to walk in the Spirit. I'm just going to draw you so that you'll just walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to celebrate. I just want you to know, when you begin to walk in the Spirit, all of heaven are like, woo-hoo! It's crazy. Us parents go nuts. Grandparents even nuttier. We're like so excited because our kids walk. Walks in them. They ought to be walking. I know, but it's just cool when you see them do it. And same in the Spirit. I want to see you walk in the Spirit. I want you to see me walk in the Spirit. I want us to rejoice together as a family that's developing under the mastery of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want him to be Lord. I don't want the systems to be Lord. I want the Spirit to lead me and dominate me, not the Spirit that controls those systems to dominate me. I want to give my life fully and completely to Jesus. Instant confession resulted in instant rescue. I like that. After his fall, he wasn't sent back to the boat. All right, get back to the boat, Peter. All right, next. Thomas, you tried. I don't even believe that's you, Lord. All right, never mind. Philip, come on. He didn't do that. Now think about it. Peter's dripping wet because he had sunk. Jesus is dry as a bone. I mean, his coat's flying in the wind, and Peter's like dripping, hair down his face. And he takes him by the hand. He said, let's go back to the boat together. Jesus wasn't embarrassed of the fact that Peter was all wet. And I'm not embarrassed over you because you're all wet. You shouldn't be embarrassed of me if I'm all wet. Because I just want you to know who's holding my hand. I may not look like much, but look who I'm with. Huh? Come on. Look who's got my hand. Jesus has got my hand. Woo! Don't make me happy. Verse 31. Jesus gets in the boat. He goes, oh, you little faith guy. Why'd you doubt? Now, we take that scripture, and we have preached all around it, most of the time from a negative standpoint. And I heard of a new disease that's spreading rampant among the church. Have you heard what it is? Negaholics. Negaholic. Everything's negative. You're a negaholic. Everybody wants to preach negative. Oh, he just had little faith, and he needed bigger faith, and if he'd have had great faith. And No. Jesus said, you know what? What you just did only took little faith. You don't need a whole lot of faith to walk on water. You don't need a lot of faith to walk in the Spirit. I look at that totally different. He said, oh, you little faith. Look what you did with little faith. You got out of that boat. You left the norm and you walked on water. Look at that little faith. Look what it did for you. Wow, I'm so proud of you. Why'd you doubt? That's a whole lot different than preaching Peter right into the bowels of hell because he had no faith. I think he had a lot of faith. There was 11 others out there thinking they had more faith than they were sitting in the boat. So it doesn't take a lot of faith to walk in the Spirit. All you got to do is to get out of the norm. Come on, y'all. We could do this. We could walk in the Spirit. We could walk in the Word of God. We could walk in the systems of the kingdom. We could say, that's not how we do life. This is how we do life. And hold on to it. It just takes little faith to do it. That's encouraging to me because there's times in my life I feel like I have just little faith. I work on my faith, but sometimes I feel like I have little faith. But little faith's enough to walk on water. I think that's big enough. I think that's big enough. Don't allow thoughts of doubt to cloud and to cover and to misguide the system that God's trying to bring you in. I tell you, church, I am so excited about the future. We're going to make adjustments. We're going to send spies into the land, into the cultural systems, and grab their attention and bring them out. Bring them out, because the god of this world has blinded them. All they know is they're a little apartment. That's the only way they know how to do life. But there is so much more for them. So we really are God's spiritual guides. We are prophetic people that are now called to go into these systems and bring them out of those areas that have been dominating their life and let them find freedom in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we get so locked into our tradition. We get so locked into how we think church ought to be. It's not about what we think it ought to be. It's all about what God is building. He's building. It's an ongoing process. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. He's building his church. He's not built his church. He's building his church. That means it's going to take on different shapes. It's going to take on different dimensions because he hasn't added to it all yet what he's finished, ready to finish. So we have to be ready to go, oh, you know, I don't like that wing. Tear that down. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I like it the way it used to be. Well, guess what? God's not done building. And he's about to add some people to the house of God that are going to freak you out. You're going to have a hard time with them. And they're not going to be churchy people. I pray that they'll be never have stepped in the church before. I hope we get to some brand new converts that come to church. And you know what? They'll say things like, man, that was a blankety blank service, man. That was good, preacher. That's what I want. I want to hear some of that. I want to hear some of them at the door. I want somebody to ask one of our ushers, you all right if I smoke this cigar in here? I want them to ask that question. I want them to feel comfortable to come in here still smell like Saturday night. It's all right. Come on now. I mean, if we're not going to be relevant to the systems, I just may come in here one Sunday with my hair punked out. Then what would you do? Oh, it is kind of punked out, isn't it? I'm going to dye it red or something. No, I ain't going to dye it red. His walking to Jesus was a testing time. His walking with Jesus was a learning time. And we're all learning. There exists another way to live life than what we've known. There really is. And we ought to be on the discovery. It's called his kingdom. So I have to ask this question. Are you ready to step out of the boat? Because most people aren't. Most people are afraid to leave what's the norm, leave what's comfortable. And I said, God, take me. I want to get out of the comfortable. I want to get out of the comfort zone. And I want to do some things that is just radical for the kingdom of God. Amen? Why don't you bow your head with me this morning? Father, I just want to pray for my friends this morning. Many of us are sitting in the boat, not even knowing we're in the boat, because we've always been there with the same people, with the same surroundings, with the same expectation. We've got all our stuff around us. Got our backpacks on. We're doing our texting. We've got communication going on. We have life. We feel like we're going somewhere, but the storm in life is keeping us right where we've always been. And I pray today, Father, Holy Spirit, you have to do this. I can't do this. Holy Spirit, you have to reveal Jesus in a bigger way and make us so desirous to be with you that we'll step out of what we've only known. I pray today, Father, that this house would be a house that walks in the kingdom way. Lord Jesus, speak to us this morning. While our heads are bowed, I want to pray for those of you that today, like Greg Ball, my friend, he was out jogging 0.2 mile away from his house. His heart stopped beating and he fell dead. Immediately, no brain activity, no oxygen for almost 15 minutes. He said he doesn't remember a light. He doesn't remember anything other than when he woke up in the hospital 4 days later with all kinds of tubes and support systems in his life. And he said God spoke to him and said, tell the people that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You see, Greg had just celebrated his 48th birthday the day before. And he felt like he had forever to live. You may be here today and think, you know what? I got time to get it right with God. Maybe when I'm old, maybe when I don't have any more interests, maybe when my friends kind of dissipate, maybe after I graduate from college, I'll get it together. But what happens if today your life would end abruptly? What would happen if you didn't have time to say, Jesus, save me? Greg said he didn't even have a moment to speak. He just dropped to the ground. I'm not saying that to scare you, but I am saying that to invite you to eternity today. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you can be saved. You can come into a kingdom and out of a system that's trying to kill you, destroy you, and steal from you. You see, the system of this world is designed sort of like the drug dealer who will give you everything free to get you hooked. And once you become addicted, now you'll do just about anything to maintain that addiction. You know, the world right now seems to be pleasant. It seems to be good. Things seem to be flowing your way and everything is kind of like good for you. But I'm going to tell you, the soul that sins shall surely die. And this is an opportunity where you can come and be big for God. We need some big people for God. We need big love, big hearts, big forgiveness. We need big people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need big families. And so I'm going to ask you today, if that's you, nobody looking around, you say, Pastor, pray for me because I'm not sure. I'm not sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. If that's you, just hold your hand up so I could see it. And then I'll pray for you all over this room. Come on, let's stand up, please. Elders, would you join me across the front? Because I believe there are going to be people coming for prayer. Prayer for various needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. It really doesn't matter. But you know what? We believe the Bible says two or three agree touching anything, it shall be done. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you have a need, you want to move toward God and away from this world, you want to get out of the boat, you want to start walking in the Spirit, you want to begin to pursuing the kingdom of God like you've never known before, that I want to ask you to come and let us pray with you right now. Come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, as they come. Thank you, Lord, as people are moving toward God and away from their world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that our eyes are being opened. Thank you, Lord God, that we are hungering and thirsting after you. Thank you, Lord God, that there is nothing, Lord, that can hold us back. We are believing today for freedom. It only takes a little faith. And I know, God, that you are moving and stirring the faith of your people. So stir it now, God. Stir up the heart of my moms and dads and children and young people. Stir us up, God, that we would be hungry and we would want more of you and that we would desire you. And Lord, there's nothing more that we want in this world than to come to you. The Holy Spirit speaking to you, I want you to come from where you're standing and join with one of these. And let us pray and believe God for your victory. Amen. Come on, take somebody by the hand. Pray for them this morning. Bless them this morning. Say, Father, I pray for my friend. I bless this person. I ask, God, that you use them for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name. Now look at them and say, look, do you need prayer? If you do, I'll go with you. Take them by the hand and walk them up to the front of this room. Come on. Do you need prayer in any way, in any form, in any means? I'll go with you because I believe that God is able. I believe that God is more than enough. I believe that God is here. And I believe that God wants to set free those that are bound. Every addiction, come on church, pray with me. Every addiction, over-the-counter drugs, marijuana, cocaine, we come against every addiction. We believe right now in Jesus, alcohol, pornography, it doesn't matter. We bind the spirit of addiction. And we know, God, that that system of the world is going to be broken. And that you, oh God, are going to give freedom and liberty to those that are coming. Come on, if you need that prayer, I want you to come from where you're standing and let's believe God for this breakthrough. Let's believe God for this victory. I come against that addiction now. I come against that deviant homosexual lifestyle now. I come against, oh God, that desire for promiscuity now. I come against, oh God, sickness and disease and all kinds of pain and physical trauma. I come against it, God, and I speak life, and I pray, God, that they would come out of the system of this world and they would come in to the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A pain in the left shoulder underneath the neck. A pain in the left shoulder underneath the neck. God wants to touch that. Come on out and get prayer right now. God spoke to me. A pain in the left shoulder. It's actually down in the collarbone. It's a bone that's been bruised. God wants to heal it in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands up, please. That's you. All right. Come on, we need a prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Come on, prayer, prayer, prayer. Here's the person that said, that's me, that's my bone, that's my collarbone in the name of Jesus. Cataracts have to be broken. Come off in Jesus' name. Every person whose vision is blurred, come on, touch your own eyes right where you are. Father, we command 20/20 vision. We come against blurred vision. We come against blindness. We come against cataracts. We come against any kind of impairment in being able to see. In the name of Jesus, we come against it. We come against it. Come down a little bit. We come against it in Jesus' name. Come on, reach your hand up here, church. We command it to go. We command it to be healed now under the mighty hand of a mighty God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All cancer, leukemia stage one. You just heard about it. Come on out. Leukemia stage one. We break the power of leukemia and the report of the doctor that says you have it. You don't have it. No, you don't have it. It has you for the moment, but you don't have it. And we're going to break its power in the name of Jesus. Leukemia stage one. Come on. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. Come on, church, stir yourself up in the spirit right now. Come on. God spoke to some of us and he said, there's systems that you know what they are and you need to make a choice. You need to make a decision right now. I'm coming out. Come on, you make that choice right now. I'm coming out. I'm going to step out of the norm. I'm going to step out of my usual. I'm going to step out what I've always done, and I'm going to pursue Christ like I've never done it before. Come on, church. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your moment. This is your time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we speak right now to this neck, and we say, be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Can you do a synthesized sound of like violins just softly playing? Come on. The Holy Ghost is not done yet. The Holy Spirit is not done yet. I just want you to know that every addiction has to be broken. Heaven is invading this room. And you must touch heaven and let heaven touch you. Listen to this. Listen to this. Jacob had an encounter with an open heaven. When he finished, he said, I didn't even know. God was here, and I didn't even know it. Some of us need to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see into the Spirit. Heaven is here right now. And if you'll touch heaven, heaven will touch you. Because it's here in this room right now. Don't let this moment pass you by. Come on, church. Don't let this moment pass you by. Come on, everybody, lift your hands up and praise. Come on, praise Jesus. Come on, praise Jesus. Come on, praise Jesus. Say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe that you're my healer. I believe that you're my deliverer. I believe, oh God, that you are bringing me out of the norm, that my life will never be the same. I believe, God, that this house is a house of change. It is a house that's going to bring change in this region. We speak life over Cleveland. We speak life over Northeastern Ohio. We say, let revival come. Turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children back to the fathers, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, keep praising him. Come on, in the middle of his praise. In the middle of his praise. God gave me another word. He gave me another word. He said the hand of the devil is trying to block the stirring of the water. The hand of the devil is trying to block the stirring of the water. It's a spirit of Absalom. It's a spirit of betrayal. And some of you have been so betrayed by so many different people, that spirit has got a hold of you. And I command that spirit to be loose right now. It's preventing a moving of God. Betrayal. People have betrayed you. They have told you one thing and have done another. But that's the devil. That wasn't the person. I command that spirit to be loose now. A spirit of Absalom. There's another spirit. Absalom. There's another spirit. It's called Jezebel. It's a controlling, dominating element, memory, thought. It's when your mind relaxes, it goes right back to that thought. Right back to that thing. It's a haunting thing. I'm telling you now, that is demonic. It comes from the bowels of hell, and it's preventing the stirring of the water. Lift your hands with me. Father, we come against the spirit of Jezebel. We come against the spirit of control and domination. This thing that has dominated the lives of your people shall no longer dominate them. We command it to be broken now. In Jesus' name, break it! Loose it! There's a spirit of poverty. A spirit of poverty. That's a way of thinking. It's not the fact that you don't have money. It's a way of thinking that says you'll never will and you don't deserve it. You're not good enough, smart enough. You'll never have the blessing or the increase of God. That is a lie from the devil. And it's preventing the move of God. So pray with me. We bind the spirit of poverty. We bind the spirit of... Cleveland is blessed. We're not losers. We're winners. I don't care what LeBron James does. God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You got to get this out of your mind. God wants to bless you. We are going to be a blessing. This is a place of blessing. Open the heavens, Lord. Open the heavens, Lord. Open the heavens, Lord. Open the heavens, Lord. We come against a spirit of lust. A spirit of lust. Not being satisfied with Jesus. We've got to have add-ons. We've got to have extras. There's been too much perversion in the preaching of prosperity. You do not need money to be anointed. Let me tell you something. Don't lust after the things of this world. It is a demonic attachment that's preventing the flow of the moving of the waters. Come on, somebody. Pray with me now. We come against this spirit of lust, against this spirit of materialism. We command it to be broken now. We command it to go now. We thank you, Lord. We are thankful for what we have, who we are, and where we are going. Hallelujah. Perhaps the most devilish of all, maybe beyond Absalom, betrayal, maybe beyond control, maybe beyond lust, maybe beyond poverty, is a spirit of religion. And some of us don't even know we have it. Religion, tradition, the way things have always been, the expectation of the bishop, the expectation of the council, the expectation of the denomination. Listen to me, we've got to break free from that. You all are ministers of God, every one of you anointed by God. You have an anointing. You need no man to teach you anything. You have the spirit of a living God. You are all prophetic. You are all apostolic. You are all powerful in the spirit. Let's break the power of religion. Come on. Lift your hands with me. In the name of Jesus, we bind this spirit of religion that has limited God's people, who have held God's people back, who has put them in a box. We bind that spirit now and command it to loose your people in Jesus' name. Go! 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's right foot on the ball of the foot underneath, real tender and sore. God wants to heal that. Just come, let us pray for you if that's you. Hallelujah. Now, when the Spirit of God was free to move in John chapter 5, the Spirit of God would visit and trouble the waters. When that freedom was there, God's wanting to trouble the water, but this hand of the enemy has tried to prevent the moving of the Spirit of God in this region, but no more. We're going to see the victory. We're going to see it, Dan. We're going to see the authentic, authentic move of the Holy Ghost in this place, in this city. Cleveland better get ready. It's about to really rock because the Holy Ghost is about to move without restriction. Amen. Somebody's right foot on the ball of the foot. I don't know if somebody came, but I felt that someone here. Okay, pray with her. That's you? Okay, we're just going to pray for you. Would you pray for the ladies? Go ahead and take it. Pray for her. The bottom right foot, that thing kept coming up to me. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are some people here today who believe that you never will. You say, never will what? Doesn't matter. You said that you'll never will. But God said, tell them they will. Tell them this day they will. Don't ever say never again. Come on, say, I will never. I will never say. I will never say never again concerning me. All things are possible to those that believe. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. Therefore, all things are possible to me. Look over your neighbor and say, you better get ready. We're about to have a miracle in this house. You better get ready. Something's about to change. Come on, church. Because nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hand. Come on. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You hold my world in your hand. And I believe that you're my healer. And I believe you're
more.
Jesus. Oh, I believe you're my healer. I believe you know all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. Sing that last part. Oh, Jesus, you're all I need. Stretch your hands up to heaven and tell him,
Jesus, you're all I need.
Come on, shout it and sing it with me one last time. Jesus, you're all I need. Come on, give him a clap offering. Come on, praise him now. 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 Oh, you're not tired yet, are you? Come on, praise him now. He's holy. He's worthy. He's awesome. He's great. He's mighty. He's powerful. And he's here right now. He's here right now. Hallelujah. Well, give somebody a Holy Ghost high five. A Holy Ghost high five. A Holy Ghost high five. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's something with a real pop to it here to close out. Hallelujah. Now, church, we will never have to raise a dime of money for anything that God would tell us to do if every person tithed their income. It's really powerful to think about. So on your way out, besides living right, loving everybody, and praying hard. Now listen, if you don't live right, you're going to get caught anyway. So you might as well get it together. Make sure you put your tithe in the offering. We'll give you the announcement about the date of our first service. We think it's going to be the 22nd, more than likely. Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, wallpapering with Tina. Wow, that sounds like fun. Is that right? Okay, 9 o'clock.